Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The following contest is scheduled for 60 minutes.
Give me a hell yeah!
Oh my God! The ring just exploded!
I apologize, you son of a bubbly!
Excuse me!
I'm better than you, and you know it.
Well, after two long months, did you miss us? I bet you did, because we are well and truly back and better than ever before. We are the Monday Night Gore team, and it's very good to be back. Who are we? Let's have a little reminder, because it's been so long, you may well have forgotten. My name is Andy Goldman, and I'm being joined, as usual, by my good friends, Mr. Connor Farity and Robbie Edwards. It's been, lads, it's been just under 2 months since we've recorded this podcast. It's been too long. A lot has happened. So it's going to be a bit of a free-for-all this episode. We've got lots to catch up on. We got returns. We got title changes. We got this and that. We got pay-per-views to go through. Of course, we're very recently removed from Money in the Bank. And lads, since we've been on the air last, fans, the beauty of fans have returned. They've sold out arenas on AEW, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and beyond. It's been absolutely fantastic. It's been electric, and we really feel as if we've got our wrestling back. So who better to talk about it than us, the Monday Night Gore team? And Connor, I'm going to start with you before we get into whatever we want to talk about today. Like I said, it's going to be a bit of a free-for-all. How have you been enjoying your wrestling recently? Because I think we should let our listeners know that Connor has been staying at home a bit recently. So he's had plenty of time to watch all the wrestling. And how have you been enjoying it, Connor?
Ah, good evening, guys. Yeah, I've been absolutely loving it, really. It's been absolutely fantastic. I feel like I've been sort of carrying this podcast all alone. Been a sort of a cart horse. Obviously, did the interview last week, an interview exclusive with Del Miexo. Please do check it out. It was great fun having that. But I missed you, boys. Where have you been? Where have you been hiding? I needed you to bounce off. But yes, Andy, you are right. I have been staying at home, unfortunately. On Monday, I had some bad news. I tested positive for coronavirus. I am absolutely fine. Very, very mild symptoms, mild to no symptoms. But it has allowed me to catch up on all of the wrestling, watch everything in depth and sort of make my own notes, because I'm an absolutely unbelievable journalist. So I make notes on absolutely everything that I end up watching. It's lifted. It's really lifted. I remember messaging you guys in the group chat that we have, and you guys would sort of be saying something about it, and I'd be going, guys, no idea what you're on about. I'm like a week behind. And I was just sort of, I was a little bit slow watching it all, a little bit lethargic. I just wasn't enjoying it. And then as you mentioned there, Andy, as soon as fans came back, bang, it was just like, it just stepped up a whole new level. It felt like the storylines got better. People were getting pops that you didn't expect to get, apart from Jackson Ryker. Please don't make him a face for very much longer, or just get him off my TV screen. Either is absolutely fine. But other than that, everyone's been getting pops. The storylines have been really inventive. They've been getting a whole lot better. And it's just good to have that interaction again, isn't it? Even when they're celebrating, you know, we'll come on to it. But when Nikki ended up getting the title on Raw, and she was just able to sort of go into the crowd and sort of stand up, and you'd have people around her. Just so much better than the Thunderdome. And hopefully we never have to talk about the pandemic era of wrestling again, and we never have to go back to it.
Indeed. Well said. And Rob, you know, I think Connor mentioned there he was behind on wrestling for a bit. But there have been times that you and I, we've missed entire episodes of wrestling, especially Raw. I mean, look, I've been a fan since I was about 3 or 4 years old. As soon as I got Sky TV in the very early 2000s, I never, ever missed an episode of Raw. But I have to admit, in the last few months or so, I've missed plenty of episodes of Raw. I think the back end of the Thunderdome era, it just started to weigh on us a little bit, and the program itself wasn't good. But whether you like Raw or not, you cannot deny, Rob, with fans, it just improves tenfold. And I think we've been enjoying it a bit more recently because they added an injection of the so-called WWE Universe.
Is that my cue to speak? Sorry.
It was, yeah. It's been a while since we've done this. You've got to pick up on these cues again.
Apologies. Yes, hello, listeners at home. I have returned. Yeah, I'm loving my wrestling at the moment. After the heartbreak of the European Championships, it has given me joy. Got it in the end. Give me a lot of joy. And I think the product could be the best it's been since I started watching. Yes, it's always been helped by the return of fans, but I look at the talent that a lot of the rosters have at their disposal at the moment, especially AEW and
SmackDown and the matches that we're getting at upcoming pay-per-views and shows in the future. I am extremely excited for it, Andy. SummerSlam already has me licking at my lips. AEW just gets better and better week by week. It's a brilliant time to be a wrestling fan, Andy. It really, really is. And I just wish I was at the show myself. I would have loved to be at Money in the Bank on Sunday just for the sheer pops that occurred, which I'm sure we will talk about. But yeah, just brilliant to have fans back. And I'm on top of my wrestling again. As you said, Andy, I have missed a few over the last few weeks, but since fans returned, I've been at it, watching them all. Raw may still suffer some weeks because it's still a bit of a mess, as we will come on to as well. But yeah, I'm overjoyed, Andy, overjoyed to be back here with you lads and watching my wrestling that I know and love.
Good stuff. Well said. And the 22nd of May, that was the last time we were all together to discuss wrestling. A lot has happened since then, so we cannot possibly go through all the changes that have occurred. But we're going to start with Money in the Bank, which took place this Sunday. We're not going to go through the whole card, as we're going to pick out certain things on that card that were big and that we haven't talked about, of course, since our return. It took place at the Dickies Arena in Texas, and it was a sellout crowd, gents, as you would expect. Great to see a crowd back for a pay-per-view event, especially one as exciting and unpredictable as Money in the Bank. But before we get into the winners of the Money in the Bank matches, we should mention the main event, which was an outstanding match for the Universal Championship between, of course, the champ Roman Reigns, who has gone from strength to strength recently, and of course, the rated R superstar Edge, who has been on a roll since his return, winning the Rumble, going on to Mania, came up short. He's still been in the title picture, but he lost again at the pay-per-view. But that wasn't even the biggest moment of the night, because of course, after the victory, who came out, lads? Who came out to the return and the adulation of the crowd with one of the biggest pops I can remember? That was no Thunderdome pop. That was a real hardcore WWE pop. I'm, of course, talking about Mr. John Cena, who has made his long-awaited return. He didn't appear once in the Thunderdome era. He is a fans wrestler through and through. And Connor, wow, it was an incredible moment. Such a loud reaction. And it's a very welcome sight, surely.
Really was, Andy. I wasn't expecting it. I thought he was still over in Hollywood making his films, but no, he's done now and he's back, and he set his sights firmly on the Tribal Chief, as we found out on Monday Night Raw. I found that a little bit weird that he went to Raw to say that he was going to SmackDown. Yeah. Hey, we'll gloss over that. He was
getting people to watch Raw, I think.
Yeah, we understand that. And he had a nice little interaction with Riddle as well. It was all a bit of fun. But no, I think he will, unfortunately, Andy, be the next competitor to bow down to Robbie's Tribal Chief, as I'll get on to, because I know Rob is a massive, massive fan of Tribal Chief, as we all are. We all are a massive fan of Roman Reigns, but I think Robbie edges it a little bit on the fandom for Roman Reigns. But something you can get invested in, something that you can get excited about. We talked about before, I'll say now, on the kickoff show, the Usos winning as well. Jamal means they've got gold. Roman's got gold. You've got Naomi going over to SmackDown, you know. We were talking about flirting with the idea, is she going to join the family as well? And it just seems to be going on strength to strength to strength. But you get John Cena, you know, the pop off of that, how hot he will be going into that match, facing Roman Reigns, who's already hot as anything, whether he's being cheered or booed. And there's a bit of both in there. There was cheers, and then I think they went, oh, no, we should be booing, and kind of switched to boos. But again, just shows how hot they both are. What a prospect that's going to be at SummerSlam as well. And what an occasion to grab the fans. And I think especially with talks of people joining AEW, which I'm sure we're going to come on to have Cena back at that location for that time to that pop is just going to help WWE tenfold.
100%. We can't forget that, Roman Reigns and John Cena have faced each other before, and they did have a feud a couple of years ago before the pandemic started. And it was a great build-up feud. The build-up was very good, very, it felt very real. The match itself was a bit of a letdown. Rob, I can't recall whether you were a fan at that point. If you were, you weren't, were you not? Okay, then how do you feel about it?
I've seen the promos, because obviously people have been posting a lot of clips from them over the last few days, and they're absolute flames. Yeah. Going to be even better now, because obviously back then they were both kind of like meant to be faces, I believe, in 2017. Exactly. Yeah. Which always makes it difficult to give the best view. But the fact that Roman is just this monster heel, and Cena is obviously so over for the first time in ages, because I think someone posted a clip 10 years ago when he faced CM Punk. It's just a booze. He's just been getting booed to hell. He did. But that pop was incredible. I just froze. I didn't get up and cheer. I was just like, okay. I was on my phone because I thought that was it. Roman's going to say, yeah, Roman's a tribal chief. And now I'm fine with that because I absolutely love Roman. And then my man just appeared. Just appeared from the mist. And I loved it. I did. He's going to lose. Sorry. He might not, because obviously he's one away from breaking the record. Is he tied with Ric Flair?
He's tied.
So, one off, yeah. But, and don't get me wrong, I expect an incredible match. I do, because I think we all know that Mr. John can still very much go in the ring. And I think that's why we're so excited. It's not like another man who returned on Monday who can barely go 5 minutes in the ring, which we will come on to. But we know John can go, and I expect it's your main event for SummerSlam sorted. I'm sure we're going to talk about more potential matches at SummerSlam with some that could easily main event as well. But this is a WrestleMania main event, and they want to make this SummerSlam WrestleMania, don't they? And just that with main event is perfect. I would pay alone to watch this match. And I'm so excited for the two, hopefully, to come face-to-face on Friday in front of a crowd. Just a back and forth. I feel it's just going to be incredible. But I don't see him stopping, Roman. I don't. I'm calling it now. It's amazing that a year ago, I remember when Roman took the title off The Fiend and I was absolutely fuming. Here we are a year later. Braun's gone. The Fiend is dead, I'm guessing. He's been replaced by a doll on Raw. So I don't really know. But I absolutely love Roman. SmackDown is good, but with him at the helm, he's the reason I turn on every week. He starts and opens the shows. He's just incredible. And I've said already, I could easily see him having that title by the time we go to LA in 2 years' time. Wouldn't surprise me. I think he will go down as one of the greatest champions in history, probably the longest reigning in history as well. I think he's that good. Every match he's in is dynamite. I loved the Edge-Reigns match. I thought it was just perfect. And fair play to Edge. I'm sure we'll speak about him again in a bit as well, but they both played the part. It was just brilliant storytelling, that match, and the oohs, the ahs, the close moments when you think Edge is going to win. It was just brilliant, brilliantly done. And it was just a phenomenal way to end that pay-per-view on Sunday and welcome fans back. Because it was just that pop. Oh, my word. Even if you don't like wrestling, come on now. That Raw, I shared it with my friends. Like, come on, listen to that. Where'd you get that in this world? It's just incredible. All fans behind one man. Oh, I just loved it, Andy. And I'm so, so excited for their match. I'm sure they're going to build it perfectly over the next couple of weeks. And it will be main event. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Roman's main event every pay-per-view just has to, I'm afraid. He just does. He's that good. So I'm just so excited for it, Andy. I'm so, so excited for it. Yeah.
Roman is the main event on any card, I think, any given day. What I loved about the main event as well is that I feel that there are no losers out of it. Even though Edge lost the match, he didn't lose clean. Roman, of course, retains. He looks good. John comes out. Edge now enters a feud with Seth Rollins straight away, which is good for Edge and good for Rollins as well, who, you know, has been a bit of limbo at the minute. So actually, I think everyone's a winner here, which is great. But there were other winners at Money in the Bank. We should, of course, mention the Money in the Bank ladder matches, which are always great fun. Of course, the one last year at Titan Towers in WWE was brilliant. But again, you can't beat that fan interaction. And of course, it was great to see Rey Mysterio on the card, even though he was murdered in this event last year by Baron Corbin, who by the way, has turned into some sort of hobo.
Oh!
What? Hey,
Rob now likes him, apparently.
Oh, leave him alone.
Rob likes him now.
You know what? I actually like it. It's something different.
It's different, isn't it, Andy? Yeah. That's what I like. It's
indeed.
A bit
I don't now turn off when I see Baron Corbin.
No, it's different.
It's a shame that it's taken him becoming a shell of a man for me to enjoy him. But, you know, I'll take what I can get. But speaking of the Money in the Bank ladder matches, I think we'll start with the women's, because that's a bit more newsworthy in terms of the actual events that occurred the next night on Raw. This is, of course, the women's Money in the Bank starring Nikki A.S.H., almost a superhero, Nikki A.S.H., who unbelievably, inexplicably, I think against most people's predictions, won the match. She won the Money in the Bank contract. It was a brilliant way she actually won the contract, one that I've not seen in the Money in the Bank ladder match before. All the women were scrambling on the ladders at the same time, and Nikki just out of absolutely nowhere just scrambled up, no one noticed her, and just took it. As simple as that. It was really well done. A great surprise, but I think the bigger surprise came on Monday night. Of course, we saw Rhea Ripley take on Charlotte Flair, I believe for the 871st time. Of course, it was a tad screwy finish. Charlotte was laid out in the ring after the match had ended, and who came out? Nikki. And one crossbody later, and we've got a new Raw Women's Champion, lads, representing the UK, representing Scotland. Nikki's done it with a brand new gimmick. This came out of left field, but I'm all for it, lads. I'm all for it. Connor, what'd you make of the new Raw Women's Champ?
Yeah, I wasn't so sure about her gimmick. when it first sort of came into fruition, I kind of thought like that had been thrusted upon her, and I was a little bit like, But then when I found out that it was something that she wanted and she wanted to go in a new direction, I kind of warmed to it a little bit more. And I love it. It's left field. You know, Charlotte Flair's brilliant, don't get me wrong, but how many times have we seen her as a Raw Women's Champion? You know, so many times, or just a champion in general.
The 13-time Women's Champ now. She's closing down her dad's record, actually. I think that's what they're trying to do.
Do you know what I mean? Too many times for me. You want it to sort of go in a sort of a new direction. And all I could really see was Charlotte taking it off Ripley and then Ripley trying to win it back. And there wasn't really anyone else that sort of came into the fold. And then suddenly Nikki comes out of nowhere and wins the ladder match. You know, I thought they were going to give it to someone like a Liv Morgan or someone. I thought they were going to go a little bit left field, but not Nikki left field. But I love it. I think it's brilliant. Why not give her an opportunity? You know, the girl has worked her absolute arse off, so to speak. You know, everyone loves her. You've only got to look at all the messages she was receiving afterwards. You know, everybody's behind her. Everyone wants to see her do well. Don't know what the fans think. I think there's been a little bit of a mixed reaction on that. But I think they need to open their eyes. And I think they need... We've been screaming that Raw's been boring. It's been predictable. It's been the same thing every time. And they've changed. I mean, this is so left field. Like, nobody expected this to happen. I think people probably thought, you know, they were already shocked that she won it. I think they were even more shocked that she ended up cashing it in inside like a day. So I'm all for it. And I thought, I agree with you, Andy. I really like the ending when they're all fighting on the ladders and sort of trying to, you know, move people off each other. And she just sort of comes up out of nowhere and goes, thank you, I'll have some of that. Mm. And away she goes. And I like it. I really, really like it. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing Raw next week to see what she does, to see what she says, and to see who her first challenger, probably at SummerSlam, is going to be.
Indeed. And yeah, you know, like I said, Connor, it's something different. Rob, one of your biggest criticisms is that the card on Raw every single week seems to be the same. That was kind of the case this week because, again, Charlotte and Ripley face each other yet again. But the ending gave birth to a fantastic moment, which, you know, shall be remembered, I think, by a lot of people. And kind of mentioned there, maybe some criticism from some fans who maybe think that Cross isn't ready for this reign. Of course, she's been a tag team champion in the past. But as far as I'm concerned, she's a great talent. She's got a good new gimmick, which is interesting and funny. She's good in the ring. I think it's a great opportunity for her. And I don't think she's going to be a world beater. I can't see her holding the title for any more than 100 days. But it's something else. It's a new champion. And I can't complain. And it's someone who actually, since coming up from the main roster, has actually done really quite well, I think. You know, we have a lot of problems with NXT people coming up to the main roster and having a bit of a wet fart of an experience. And we'll come on to that later with the likes of Lee and Cross. But Nikki's someone that's always been there. She's had some great stories and she's won some titles with Bliss as a tag team. And now she's got her first singles title. I don't really see what the problem is. Do you?
Not really. I agree with Connor. I wasn't entirely sure about her character change at the start, because you assume it's one of Vince's crappy little ideas that he's thrust on someone, which they're not really into. But then you find out she obviously came up with the idea and you think, okay, well, she must be invested in this. So I get behind it. Didn't think she was going to win Money in the Bank, I'll be honest. I was with Connor. Liv was my obvious choice. The women's Money in the Bank match, what I will say is it was quite a weak lineup if you compare it to the men's, which we'll come on to, which is brilliant. And I thought the women's match itself, I did like the ending like you, but I thought it was a bit flat, the women's Money in the Bank match. But the ending was brilliant. And I'm over the moon for Nikki. I am. My only issue is that now, and I think someone mentioned on Twitter, they seem so set on pulling the trigger so early on Money in the Bank. And I get the temptation was there with fans returning, but only one woman who's won Money in the Bank has held it longer than a day. Bliss cashed in on the night, Bayley cashed in on the night, Oscar got it by default, and then Cross does it the next day as well. I think the men's one is going to hold it for a period of time, but I do like, I mean, obviously last year they completely butchered the men's Money Bank contract. So you could argue it's a negative to hold it for so long because then you panic and don't really know what to do. But I sometimes like them holding it for a bit and I think she would have been good to hold it. But I imagine it was the fact that fans returning and Raw needs an injection of life. And that's probably why they did it. Find it hilarious that Flair wins the title and I thought, okay, I expected maybe Becky to return. I'm going to build for Becky Flair for SummerSlam. Didn't go that way, but I imagine Flair will probably be Nikki's first opponent. I could easily see them making a triple threat at SummerSlam between the three, which I wouldn't mind because they can put Nikki over. But then, like you two, I could see Vince just going, oh, this is crap, and just pulling the trigger and having her drop the title straight away. But I hope they don't. She put the title on her now. Give her a little run. I agree with you, Andy. It's not going to be that long. She probably won't have it till WrestleMania next year. I highly doubt it. But who cares? Give her a little run. She's over the fans. They love her. She's a practical baby face. So why not give her the title? Raw is lacking in female superstars at the moment. They've obviously lost Naomi. Again, you look at Flair and Ripley. I mean, Ripley's character is kind of just a mess. I'm not shocked they took the title off her. I kind of guess they would butcher it, but hey-ho. And that's kind of it, really. Bliss just plays with her doll. Then you've got crappy tag teams, really, haven't you, on Raw at the moment? Raw just a bit of a mess, so it needs an injection of life. I thought that Raw on Monday was a mess, the show itself, but it was weirdly entertaining because of how much a mess it was and how much happened that was just so random but shit at the same time, because so many people turned up you didn't expect, but a lot of it just didn't make sense. But at least it was a bit different, I suppose. But yeah, Nikki's champion. I'm all for it with her little cape. And I watched her on Kayla's show, and she's adorable, Nikki. Yeah. I do have a soft spot. And she's flying the flag for the UK, and which is what we love to see as Brits over here. So good on Nikki. I just hope she gets a reasonable run now that they've put the title on her. And it was not just Vince thinking, fuck it, we're just going to give a baby face a moment of glory. And then next week he decides, you know what, just put it back on Flair again, going into SummerSlam. I believe, Vince. I believe.
I think Rob makes a very good point there. It was a relatively weak lineup, and obviously it wasn't helped by the injury to Bayley, and you had to take Carmella out of the match. But even before that, it felt like they were trying to fill, like putting Natalya and Tamina in it. I mean, they were going to have good innings, but they were never going to do anything.
They got booed, I mean, so much, didn't they?
I know. They put Zelina Vega in there. She's been back like a week. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, really?
Yeah.
And then you look at Alexa Bliss and you think, well, God knows what they're doing with that. I mean, I've got absolutely no idea what they're doing.
Oh, so you know, stupid.
She's not going to win it. Naomi has no character whatsoever, so they weren't going to give it to her. And you're looking at Liv and then you're thinking, could Nikki maybe? Then you're clutching after that. You don't really know who to go to. So I'm happy. I'm really happy. I wanted it to be Liv because I didn't think Nikki would win it. But now that Nikki has won it, I'm very, very happy that they went with that decision.
Sure. And I think, you know, when I was watching it, I thought Bliss was my favourite. But then I know she's got her thing with Eva Marie and Doudrop, not to mention her doll, as Rob has mentioned.
And you know, she's out of time now.
I think it's gone a bit too far, this Alexa Bliss character. And I really do. I think she's got a bit stupid, to be honest. I liked it when The Fiend kind of had a hold over it. Now, obviously, my boy The Fiend's just dead.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know where he is.
And God knows where he is, Rob. I don't know if you're ever going to see him again.
No, I don't think we are either. The Bliss thing, I don't know, to understand. They've not won the tag belts yet, but they're so lacking in women's tag teams.
I mean, maybe Bliss and Lily would make a good...
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going with that. I mean, clearly people like Alexa Bliss, but just don't give her a rubbish gimmick like that.
No, she'd get a good reaction from the crowd.
With a doll.
No,
but what is going stupid. On?
But Liv Morgan also received a great reaction from the crowd, and I think they're clearly something with her. They gave her a very.
I want her to. I thought they were going to build for like an authority kind of vibe with her and Sonya, so I thought they were going to keep her out of the match. So in a way, I'm kind of glad she didn't win because I want her and Sonya to have a thing. Because obviously, I'm still gunning for Sonya to get in the ring.
Yeah,
but the SmackDown women's division.
I think
division,
that'll come at some point.
Yeah, I do. I think they're doing good things. You just see SmackDown's building people. Raw just doesn't build people.
They are, yeah.
You know, yeah, they've built Nikki up immediately just by giving the Money Bank contract. But still, there's so much work that needs to be done in Raw. And we're going to talk about other elements as well. But at least it was entertaining on Monday, as you said, Andy. And it was a good moment to end on the show.
I do agree with you, Rob. A relatively weak lineup. And I don't mean to be horrible, but a relatively weak lineup.
It was.
And an enjoyable match, but relatively average match.
Compared to the men's match, the men's was superb. Yeah.
Well, that's what
times.
We're going to talk about right now. Then, brilliant. Well, we set up very nicely. Money in the Bank ladder match. This was the penultimate match just before the main event. And this saw Drew McIntyre take on John Morrison, Kevin Owens, King Nakamura, Ricochet, Riddle, Seth Rollins, and Mr. Big E. Large E. Huge E.
Want to go away on
E?
Say
and we are very happy to see him, lads. And, you know, he was, I think, a lot of people's sentimental favourites in this match. And, you know, we've been calling out for an opportunity for this guy for a long, long time. He's had various opportunities. You know, he's had some big matches recently. And we feel like he's been just climbing the ladder. And literally on Sunday, he literally climbed the ladder to get the Money in the Bank briefcase, which he now holds. And he is officially Mr. Money in the Bank. Mr. Money in the Bank, as I saw on Twitter, which I think was a nice little pun. So what do we think of it? Connor, I'll start with you. surely the most deserved man in this match to win the contract.
Oh, I'm so happy, Andy. I'm so happy. This man has deserved a shot at the title, and now he has the best opportunity he is ever going to get. And you saw it. You saw the emotion. He was trying to hold back the tears after he was just so happy. A great decision. A great match as well. A really, really good match. I'm still a little bit unsure why they're so scared to hurt Drew. I mean, had to get Jinder's goons to eliminate him from the match and he was going to win. I mean, I'm all for it because I'm quite happy that they're bringing Jinder back and they've got something going on there. But I'm thinking, come on, guys, like Drew has to lose at some point here. Do you know what I mean? And he'll probably go on to beat Jinder. But I just thought every person had a place in that match. You know, yeah. Kevin Owens was brilliant. Shinsuke was absolutely fantastic. And then the main man rises to the top. They say the cream rises to the top. And he was the best. I thought Rollins, again, was great in the match. It was just a phenomenal, phenomenal match. And the right man finally gets the recognition he deserves. I've been reading that he will be going after Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
But I think he's the man to take it off Roman Reigns. You leave it a while. You leave it a while. You do. I think he's the man to dethrone Roman Reigns.
Well, that's a difficult one because I can't see Reigns losing it anytime soon. As much as I love Big E, I don't think he is the name to end this reign of Reigns. He is the tribal chief. As Rob said, he could easily become the most dominant and longest reigning champion of the modern history. They're never going to beat the Bruno Sammartino reign because that was a different era, it wasn't weekly TV. But he could definitely be the longest running champ of anything post-80s. And I'm not sure with Big E. And I think, yeah, a Money in the Bank would be logical to take it off Reigns because, of course, it's never really a clean win when you win the Money in the Bank and cash in. It never really works like that unless you cash in ahead of time an official match, which has been done before. But I don't know if you could end Reigns' run with a Money in the Bank cash in. I feel like it would almost underserve and almost downplay his reign, especially how long it's been. It's coming up to 365 days, of course. You know, soon it'll be a full year. So come.
Would you have him beat Lashley then, or would you have him lose?
Probably. Because I love.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm pretty hot on Bobby Lashley at the moment.
Oh, his win over Kofi was brilliant. And to be fair, as much as we love Kofi, I don't think it hurts Kofi. It was such a dominating win, and it was
not in the slightest.
It really did remind people. Hang on a minute, Bobby Lashley is champion for a reason. He's a badass.
So they should.
Big E going after Lashley, it makes perfect sense. After he's just destroyed his brother, Kofi Kingston, why wouldn't
he? True, very true.
It's an added story there, and I don't know if Reigns needs that.
There's no rash, is there, lads? He's got a year. Yeah. I want him to hold it for a while. And I was going to mention there, I don't think he's ready to take off Reigns yet, but you give it till the new year, perhaps he will. But as I said, I think Reigns called it.
Well,
for
that's
a while.
Why I said he might be the man to do it because he's obviously got a year.
But I do agree with Andy. I think a Money in the Bank cash in, when Reigns is to lose the title, you want someone to beat him in a hellacious match, not just to come up
who's
behind
gonna,
him.
So
smack.
Who's gonna do that?
I don't know yet. I mean, we mentioned obviously my boy Finlay returning potentially in the future because obviously
gonna do it.
Well, you don't know, Connor. There are so many people I still want to see Roman face. I want to see him face Seth when he's done. I want to see him face Shinsuke. I want to see him face Finn. I do want him to go one-on-one with Big E. I don't really, and that's kind of, don't want to see a cash in.
Okay.
I want to see him face Sami Zayn one point as well.
There are plenty of people.
No, Andy.
24/7 champion.
And we obviously want to see the dream match, which is the one we could potentially get at Vegas, which is Reigns versus Rock, which everyone's waiting for. Admittedly, he could lose the title and get it back, but I don't see the point in doing that. I don't. But I want to see him going after Bobby. I don't want to see him do it yet, because I think they're building Bobby up as this monster, as they should, because he is. And he is slightly getting overshadowed by Reigns. I want Reigns Lashley at Survivor Series as well. Just saying, two monsters going at it in the ring. But I like seeing Bobby. And then it gives, and I think he will, when he cashes in, he should beat Bobby. But I hope that's what they're doing. They're building Bobby up so they can look a monster and have Big E take it off him. And then I can have the New Day ripped apart when Big E goes monster heel eventually. But I'm thinking way into the future. That's just what I want to see. And I've been saying it since he went solo about a year ago now, but eventually I want him to turn his New Day brothers and putting them on. Admittedly, Raw is a horrible place to be, and as champion, you could get shafted on Raw. But if I, as a betting man, I would say go after Bobby Lashley.
He probably will.
Reigns for me is just untouchable at the moment, and it could change, could well change. And I think given they've just given Nikki already a cash in, leave it a bit. Don't do it straight away. I'd leave it a while. And I think Big E has a money. He's a legitimate winner, isn't he? Remember he had poor old Otis last year. Who, bless him, was never going to win, was he? Big E, I think there's not a soul in this world who's not behind this Big E solos run.
Yeah.
Is he? Because he's that good and he's so over. And you can tell on the crowd when he climbed the ladder to get the Money in the Bank briefcase, they just loved it. So.
And I'm glad they have gone with it because I was not very happy the way he lost the IC title to our good friend Apollo, who's gone missing for a bit now. We haven't really seen him in a while, but yeah, they've carried it on with it and they've made him go on to get the Money in the Bank. So.
Yeah. Well, I think we said when he lost the IC title at Mania, we're like, okay, well, what? Why would do that unless he's going to be?
We did, but yeah. We also say a lot of things which we think they're going to. Yeah. Do, they never do it. So
I think Vince is generally into Big E. I'd be shocked if he isn't. What's not to love, man? The man's an absolute unit.
Yeah, but, you know, we keep talking about Big E going after Lashley, like, out of certainty. Let's not forget, lads, that Lashley has to face someone before Big E might actually think about cashing in. And, of course, talking about a man who returned
for
on Raw
sake.
This week, which we alluded to earlier on. I'm, of course, talking about Goldberg. That's right, Bill. Big Billy Goldberg, or Oldberg, as some people call him. The man is well into his 50s. Seems to be going to challenge Bobby Lashley, most likely at SummerSlam on August the 21st in Nevada. The Allegiant Stadium, lads, should hold around 65,000 to 70,000 people. So it should be the biggest show we've seen since, well, a Mania a couple of years back, I think, which is quite incredible to think about. But there it is. Bobby Lashley might not even be champion by the time that Big E wants to cash in. We could be looking at Goldberg.
That would be funny.
Well, I have heard that might potentially happen. So that when Big E cashes in, there's like a massive pop for it and everyone's more than happy.
I don't think, but you know.
No, you've got to leave Lashley as champion.
You've
for
just
longer.
Made him look up. You have to. Well, what pissed me off is
such a mistake.
It was all over Twitter as well. Obviously, our boy Keith Lee returning so long loses. But why the fuck is Keith Lee, Bobby Lashley not our SummerSlam match? That's a match I want to fucking see. Not old
it was
man
a good
Goldberg.
Match on Raw, but he lost.
He was
random. Lost. Random.
Just disappears for ages and then comes back.
Yeah, such loses. A shame. He got such a pop
in his hometown as well.
Yeah, it was very sad.
But it's very strange. But
the Goldberg thing, I've no interest. And it just sums up the difference. You get SmackDown, and yet people say, well, Cena's coming back. Cena can go, man. As I said, Goldberg can't go 5 minutes. I'm pissed off if he wins.
It just feels like he gets a free run. He comes back and he just gets these title shots. Like he did it against Drew. He just walked into the ring and stood face to face with him, and all of a sudden he gets a title shot.
I think the last time I really enjoyed Goldberg was when he had that mini feud with Dolph Ziggler. Like, do something like that.
Do something like that.
Good fun.
That was in SummerSlam, wasn't it? He just killed him.
Have him clatter some mini heels, irritating.
Well, Baron Corbin comes out at SummerSlam and says, like, oh, I need to win to boost my confidence. Goldberg music hit. That would get a monster pop. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see him taking opportunities.
The only
people that are
reason,
there week in, week out.
The only reason I think they would win is, as Connor said, if they were planning a cash-in. But it'd be strange for him to win because we've not got a Mania coming up. And that's usually when he wins the title, isn't it?
It's only going
to
last 2 minutes, lads. Literally 2 minutes. Be
that's
over.
That's it. I'm afraid. Done. You're trying to...
Finished.
But then I suppose you could say, oh, who on Raw do you get Bobby to face, really? Well, Keith Lee is the one I've said.
You mentioned Balor as well. You know, he rocked up.
He's on SmackDown.
Yeah, but since when's that stopped anyone? Like you said, Cena rocked up on Raw.
But he said he joined SmackDown.
Listen... Look, mate. I mean, Mandy goes to NXT, you know, flipping.
Yeah, true.
People just rock up anywhere that they want to rock up. Naomi's just gone to SmackDown randomly.
So loosely applied rule.
It's a shame because the draft should be made a significant occasion. But then it's a shit time anyway before Survivor Series, which we've talked about. But
makes no sense.
Yeah, I have no interest in this match as long as it actually goes through him.
As long as Lashley wins, yeah.
Because I loved the Lashley Kofi thing. And I think the crowd enjoyed it as well. They were like, okay.
And they were shocked.
Yeah,
it was a shocker.
We've been saying for ages, Lashley. And it's a shame because he's just been stuck facing Drew, and he finally got a different opponent, and he showed he's an absolute monster. And he needs to up the level because he's got you know who on SmackDown who is just tearing it down week after week. He's not going to get to Roman's level. You just can't. It's physically impossible because you're not Roman Reigns. But he can at least be a monster. And Raw needs a proper champion to lead it.
Yeah.
Nicky's not going to leave.
I think he's the one.
He's the one.
The roster that they have.
He's such a monster.
He's so much over the years. He really has. From the guy
he's getting better on the mic as well.
5'6", honestly.
Yeah. His promos are getting better as well.
And MVP is one of the best managers. in WWE.
Yeah,
so he's very good. Keep them together. As long as they don't break them up just yet, Lashley will be absolutely fine.
Yeah. But, you know, projected for SummerSlam, we could see, a double main event of Goldberg and Lashley versus...
imagine if that main evented instead of Reigns.
Well... Yeah, no.
Could you imagine?
They wouldn't do that.
Could you imagine? John Cena and Roman Reigns just middle card.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like third match in.
It won't happen because it's got
Followed by Sheamus and Berto Carrillo afterwards.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. Oh, no. Sheamus had a defense. Is it... I mean, he has been injured, to be fair.
Broken face, man.
Yeah, he did.
But one more thing we should talk about based on Raw before we move on to some other. Other good stuff is, like I mentioned earlier on, the NXT call-ups not always having the best rub of the green on the main roster. We talked there about Keith Lee losing to Bobby Lashley. And while it's great to see Keith Lee back on Raw, it's still disappointing to see him lose. I know he lost to WWE champion, the guy who's on the form of his life after just destroying Kofi, but it's still a bit disheartening to see, like Connor said, the guy return in his hometown, Monster Pop, lose. And that wasn't the only time we saw an NXT hero lose. We called the NXT champion, the guy who actually is the face of the brand, and the guy
Andy, the
champion of NXT on Raw, unannounced. He rocks up, minus Scarlett. Happy to see him. Jeff Hardy's music hits. Now, of course, we talked about this before the show went on the air. Lovely to see the old music come back. It's a fantastic theme tune. It takes me back to 2008 when Jeff Hardy was on top of the world, winning the WWE title a couple of times. Great, great to see. Really enjoyed hearing that. The match itself was, well, blink you'd miss it, lads. It was a very quick bout, which Jeff won with a bit of help from the rope, shall we say. Now, I have no issue with Jeff Hardy winning matches on Raw. I wanted to see that for a long time. I think he could do with a little bit of a push, Jeff Hardy. He's a guy with huge credibility and huge billing and history. But the expense of the NXT champion, Karrion Kross, who, by the way, has never lost a match by a pinfall in his entire career here in WWE, that's something I can't quite get behind.
Oh, I didn't realize
I'm struggling
that.
To see why this has happened.
Well, he hasn't.
Rob, and he had a post-match interview where he said that Jeff Hardy's made the biggest mistake of his life, suggesting a little bit of a feud happening between the two, which I'm all for. But how do you feel about your NXT champion showing up on Raw and losing within the space of around about, I'd say, 2 or 3 minutes?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious that he's going to go to Raw. And I thought that was to do with Nikki's name change, because they both would have been crossed on the same brand. And that's what people thought was kind of behind it, but obviously not. But yeah, it's bullshit, really, isn't it? Do you remember when Kevin Owens rocked up on his debut with the NXT Championship? Did he beat Cena? Or at least the absolute...
Cena on his first
night. That's what you do.
Adam Cole as well.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, and who could catch No Way Jose when he won his debut?
I mean, to start with, I think we mentioned it before the pod as without Scarlett next to him, I don't think he's the same man. I think he kind of becomes quite generic.
Bit boring, isn't he?
Bit dull, really, to be honest with you. I think he's going to, I'm guessing he's going to drop the NXT title at the next pay-per-view, whenever that is. I think it will be to our boy.
Soon.
I think he's going to go to Joe. And I don't mind I absolutely love Samoa Joe. And he's your proper NXT champion. And Cross, since winning the title, his matches are good, but I'm not 100% sure. I think Scarlett carries that gimmick. It's the entrance. Every time the entrance comes on, I'm in. But apart from that...
Well, the entrance on Raw was nothing like that. He just waltzed up.
Well, that's the thing.
He just waltzed out.
You look at someone like Keith Lee, who I feel is such an asset. He's become lost. Well, I don't think Karrion Kross is anything special.
He'll become lost.
There are superstars, I'm afraid to say it, who are better, more talented than him, often more, who have gone to main roster and get lost. So he will get lost. And as I agree with you, lads, I don't mind Jeff Hardy losing at all, because I feel Jeff Hardy is extremely underused. And yeah, he doesn't have to be in the title picture, but you know he can be involved in some brilliant matches, just extremely underused. And yeah, a feud between him and Cross isn't awful, but yeah, it makes zero sense to me, to be honest, Andy. It was just a lot of Raw made zero sense to me, and that was probably the worst part. He rocks up, and just the way he got pinned, it was just really embarrassing.
Yeah, it wasn't clean, we'll give him that. But it's
not
still
clean, but
loss,
in a way,
it?
I thought that was even more stupid, to be honest. He comes out giving the big, and he just gets kind of like pinned. Jeff, I should kind of like...
Yeah, and they were bigging up. Like, Jimmy Smith was like, oh, and we got the NXT champion you know, debuting later on Raw, yeah, Karrion Kross, and like properly bigging it up. Then he loses Jeff Hardy, which again, like I said, got no issue with Jeff Hardy, you know, getting that push again. But this is a Jeff Hardy that has won, what, one match in his last like six, and that was a roll-up on Cedric Alexander. You know, he's been losing pretty much other than that. And then you've got Karrion Kross, who hasn't lost in his entire time in WWE. Yeah. I knew this was going to happen because I'd read a lot of reports that he'd been backstage of Raw's quite a lot. Apparently him and Bronson Reed, but obviously Bronson Reed hasn't appeared yet, so I don't know what's going to happen.
He's got a feud
there
with Adam now as well, isn't he?
So. But I feel like this was going to happen. However, I thought that they were going to tie up the loose ends of NXT and allow him to finish off this feud that he's having with Samoa Joe before they did it. However, I also read that Vince did it without telling Triple H, and Triple H got very, very angry with him, obviously, as he would. And they've tried to cover it up on NXT now, haven't they, by going, oh, he's gone rogue and he's taken control, and, you know, Regal, you've lost control. You didn't even know he turned up at Raw on Monday. And they're trying to like cover it all up like that. And then obviously having him beat up Regal at the end of NXT as well, trying to pretend like he's just going on this monster warpath. But again, it just doesn't work. And as I said, as you alluded to there, Rob, Scarlett is his gimmick. And I was reading a lot of people going, oh, you know, why is Scarlett not in the ring? Why is she being held back? And I'm going, hang on a second. She's holding Cross together. That's why she's still there, and she's part of that gimmick, and that's why she hasn't gone off on her own. And if they're going to lose, if he's going to lose her, he's lost a big part before he already goes to Raw. And he's going to get lost. He's going to get lost. He's going to be a Keith Lee. He's going to get lost in the shuffle. He's just going to become your ordinary sort of, you know, middle card bloke. He might even end up chasing for the 24/7 championship if he's not very careful. Mm. And that feels like an almighty fall from someone who hasn't been defeated on NXT and looks like he's going to have this monster feud with Samoa Joe. I think they're pulling the trigger way too early. I think he should be staying on NXT and shouldn't be going to Raw. But listen,
I think it sucks the life.
My girl Tegan Nox turn up on SmackDown. Yeah. Shotzi Blackheart turn up on SmackDown. Tony Storm is going to turn up on SmackDown. We're talking about Bronson Reed. Apparently he's going to turn up on Raw. So they're clearly moving people up from NXT. They're also doing the breakout tournament on NXT. So obviously looking to get new blood in again. And instead of it being a third brand, sort of it being developmental again. So who knows? But it didn't make sense.
I feel so bad for NXT, bless them. I think Triple H doing a brilliant job considering Vince just keeps taking his superstars away from... I know they've got Joe, which is big. And I like, obviously, Mandy returning. But give him a few more.
The only reason he's got Joe is because Vince fired him.
Yeah.
Triple H brought him back.
I love this breakout thing they're doing because I think they need to do it, because Bessem is just losing their superstars left, right and centre.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And I can understand Triple H's anger, because what does it say about the NXT brand? You're trying to build this brand.
Okay? Yeah.
It's no longer under competition with AEW, so it has no excuse for doing ratings that aren't good. And you're having the main champion, the main man, losing on the flagship show Raw. Granted, to a former world champion, but to a guy who, as Connor said, hasn't won a match in a while, within 3 minutes, it's a very strange way to present your brand, your supposed level-headed brand NXT, when you're treating their main man like that. It makes zero sense to me. Zero sense.
It shits on the Joe Cross feud now, doesn't it? Because I think a lot of people probably be like, well, it's obvious Joe's going to win.
And
I was, so up for that match as well. And it kind of just sucks. And I'm sure it'll be a good match, but
I loved it when Cross made Joe pass out when he was referee. I thought that was brilliant. I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And then he goes on Raw and loses.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It literally doesn't make any sense.
Bit of variety to this program, which we all love to see. But having beat someone, having beat a decent name, like a Ricochet or someone, don't have him. Whatever. It's
give him his proper entrance.
But apparently he's going to turn up on Raw again on Monday.
That's stupid. If they're going to do that Wednesday. Tuesday.
What is going on?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a joke.
What is going on? He's just beating up William Regal. And he's going to go and turn up and lose. Yeah.
If I was Triple H, I'd be fuming. Oh, bless him. Because NXT is not bad. But I've been saying it for a few months now. It's lacking in some star power. The best thing about NXT is the LA Knight Cameron Grimes feud. You know, that is the best
that's
thing.
That's very good.
That feud is class. And NXT is good. But yeah, it's such a shame, bless him. What can you do when you're losing your superstars all the time?
Yeah. That's the way.
Tegan turns up, chases Candice off stage, and goes on to SmackDown.
Again. It doesn't make sense.
Well, at least Tegan and Shotzi won the first couple of matches.
I'm delighted for Tegan, but You're teasing a nice match with Candice and then you chuck her on.
Well, we'll go around the circle. We'll talk about this all night. We could.
And just call her Knox.
We're just gonna gloss over that. Knox.
Is she just called Knox? Is she
Shotzi and Knox for now? Shotzi, whether it's that's just Knox. For the tag team, I,
but
I
do Pat love... and Michael, Pat and Michael Cole do still sometimes call her Tegan. Well,
they do love cutting a name in half. They don't. With loads of people, Cesaro, Rusev back in the day. Love it. Riddle.
I'm glad Shotzi kept her tank. I would have been very pissed off if she lost her tank. Away her character if you take away the tank.
I loved it when her cannon missed Tamina's face by about an inch, and Tamina completely no-sold it. She just didn't move. I was like, wow, good for you, Tamina.
Yeah. Shame. I would have preferred to see Tegan and Shotzi. I think they should sack off the women's tag titles. I personally do, because I think they're just kind of a waste of time.
I wouldn't sack them off. They just need to rejig them a little bit.
They're not got enough women, Andy. And I think a lot of women in the tag teams would be better. I think Shotzi and Tegan are perfect, baby. I'm actually pains me to say
it. But again, they ruined it. You know, Andy, we were talking about it. How hot were Tamina and Natalya at WrestleMania?
Yeah, why they win
and
it there?
And then they lost. And won it 2 weeks later in the Thunderdome.
Yes, exactly.
Well, he ruins it.
So
and then the crowd are just flat off that because they're like, oh, well, they didn't win in front of us. So we actually don't like them now. We're just going to boo them.
Well, I mean, technically they're heels now. But it's just topsy-turvy, flip-flop.
Yeah, it is a flip-flop. Sorry.
And yeah, again, they're appearing on both brands. Oh, and they appear on NXT as well.
Yeah, so I blame Raw for their character development. I know, obviously, they're SmackDown superstars, but I blame Raw. As soon as you go to Raw, you catch something.
You die.
You become all clueless as to what character you are.
Yeah, Raw's the real virus, but...
Raw is a virus.
But you look at poor old Oscar.
It's the same as well, because it's bad that... We didn't even mention Oscar in that women's Money in the Bank.
Did you not send her
what
back?
What did she do?
Did you not send her back to NXT? That's what I would do.
Yeah, why not?
That's where she was. That's where she banged, wasn't it?
Imagine Oscar versus Shirai.
Yeah.
Oh my Christ.
Exactly. And Gonzalez is in need of some change. I know Xylee, obviously, and I'm not seeing the match yet, but I do like Xylee. But it's kind of just Ember Moon going back and forward at the moment because I haven't got anyone else because she just took three of the women away from
taking the best one.
I've got Mandy, and I hope Mandy's going to go back to being her heel golden goddess, wherever it was, hopefully.
No.
Yeah. I hope that's the way they go. But it's tough for NXT at the moment. And I feel Triple H should be fuming, because I'd be fuming as well.
Yeah. Well, he's not happy from the reports I've been reading.
No, I'm not surprised.
I feel like he's just thinks Vince has gone.
The only one I get is the Finn one, because Finn kind of... I think he revitalized.
He had nothing left.
And yeah, he's got nothing left to do there. So yeah, put him back up. And I hope he doesn't get shafted again. But he seems to be on SmackDown, so he'll probably be all right. And a feud with Sami Zayn, I'm all for. Because they've not feuded before. And you know,
hopefully he appears and doesn't disappear like a lot.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Just disappear, Andy. 1 week you're there, the next minute. Next week you're not there.
Well, hopefully
SmackDown
look
good,
though.
SmackDown
look
good. SmackDown use their talent. Mainly because I don't think they've got as many. Raw's just filtered with... I don't want to say garbage, but superstars just don't really know what they do. I mean, Jackson Ryker is having a solo run.
Why is he a face?
It was a fun match, to be fair. It was a fun match.
Yeah, but the crowd didn't care, Andy.
No. Yeah, it's tough.
And it went on for so long.
It's just, why is he obsessed with someone like
that?
And then he won,
and there was just nothing in the crowd. They were just like,
What does he see in someone like Jackson Ryker? Which he doesn't see, and a good physique. Yeah, I just don't get Vince at times. I think he just thinks, you know, I'm just going to do this to irritate people, bless him. But he still gets pops when he appears, doesn't he, Andy? So it's not going to... Everyone should just boo him when he comes out. He changes his ways.
I know, bless him. But enough about Raw, because otherwise we'll just get depressed.
Okay, just before we go, Andy...
Oh, no, we're not finished yet.
Yours and mine... No, on Raw, I mean.
All right.
Yours and my favourite, Doudrop, Andy.
Well... Yes, she's there. She was there. She was there, and I can't.
She made an appearance.
So they made it. They're doing a segment with Alexa Bliss, and even I don't know what they were talking about. I just remember Eva Marie falling over. That's all I remember about that segment. And Doudrop going,
Doudrop. Why? I have nothing.
Where did they come from? Doudrop.
There was nothing there, and she fell over.
She just fell over. Oh, it's weird, man. Forget it.
I feel a little bit for Doudrop because she came in. She obviously beat Oscar and Naomi literally on her own, and then now she just sort of stands next to Eva
Marie.
She's
a lackey.
She's just got a muscle for Eva Marie, isn't it? It's kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah. But Eva Marie doesn't really... she's got a feud with Alexa Bliss, I guess. So.
Yeah. But speaking of the women, though, lads, that's what I wanted to get on to. Our good friend of the pod, Alex McCarthy, tweeted that we will see at some point in the near future the first ever Queen of the Ring tournament, of course. It's a long time come. We've had the King of the Ring since the late 80s. Of course, it appears every couple of years, every 4 years. Sometimes it doesn't appear for a long time. But we're going to see a Queen of the Ring tournament take place at some point this year, which is great. We believe it might be a Peacock or WWE Network exclusive, which means it won't take place on weekly TV, which I don't really mind too much. I think it give you more time to build these sort
trying
of...
to sell Peacock, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Work well for them.
I don't mind too much, but either way, a Queen of the Ring tournament is good. I think, you know, we're always crying out for definitely more opportunities for the women. And you know, I think we're talking about the likes of Doudrop and Eva Marie. Yeah, you know, they could be names in this tournament. So definitely keep our eyes peeled on that. Of course, more information, you know, is will come up at some point soon. But Connor, I don't know, any early predictions of who you'd like to see possibly? I think I can name at least one that I think talked about her earlier on. Oh, no, I'm not talking about her. I'm not talking about the Welsh shiniest wizard. I'm talking about Liv.
Not a terrible shout, Andy.
What? Liv or...
I think Tegan could do well on SmackDown because I think she's... Perfect baby face.
Yeah. Oh, guys, got the action
figure. I don't agree with his obsession, but I think as a baby face, I think she will work well as long as she's
our NXT.
I don't know that information. I hope so. That'd be nice to see a bit of Tri brand.
I know Shirai's got a title, but I'd quite like to see it.
I would personally like to see Liv go all the way.
Sonya
puts herself in front of Sonya, beats her.
Liv's a really good shout.
It's such an easy way to. I mean, we talk about it a lot. And we obviously
Naomi,
go back to Chad Gable.
Yeah, I think the winner should be a woman that hasn't won a title in a while or has never won a title.
It shouldn't be someone in the title picture for sure.
Charlotte, obviously, she's known as the queen. So if she was to win this, it would annoy me. Maybe win it in like a few years, just to add to CV.
Just because you said that.
How does that work? Yeah. If she doesn't win it and then you got
two queens.
Becomes
official queen. I don't know why they don't do more tournaments. It's such an easy way to build someone.
Hey, who could forget Chad Gable in the King of the Ring couple years ago? He was class.
And then he lost.
But that was better than Corbin, didn't he?
Yeah, and the crowd are even more.
And now he's the Alpha Academy, so you know.
Yeah, he's good, and he's good in that role. Him and Otis, very good
stuff. Otis is completely different, Rob. How do you feel about that? We've already talked about Otis's new look and demeanor.
Looks like a bowling ball.
I don't mind it.
He does, yeah.
I hope they're going to stay as a tag team.
Hey, win the belts.
Yeah,
those we could do with some more tag teams. I don't think they're going to challenging the Usos.
I think the Usos are going to keep it.
Yeah, they keep it for a while, and rightfully so. I think they keep it.
Bloodline.
But yeah, I don't. Otis is just. That's what's good to think about. He's just in the background. I know he obviously lost to Cesaro.
He appears every week, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
you know, you say the background, but he is on TV.
I know he lost to Cesaro, but I was glad about that because I didn't want to see Cesaro lose.
Oh, Cesaro v. Otis. That's a decent match, isn't it?
It is a good match. I'm glad Cesaro is saying. I was obviously a bit disappointed it wasn't Money in the Bank, but. I did want Seth. And I do want him. Andy sent the pot. Cesaro is my one. I want to see him going after Apollo soon. Yeah. Apollo's kind of gone a bit dry. I think Cesaro.
Yeah, Apollo's gone missing, hasn't he? He's not really been missing.
He's gone back to Nigeria to work on his accent, I've heard.
Yeah, it's gone a bit flat.
But, gone to join the tribes over there.
Yeah, I like the Otis thing. It's a bit different. Obviously, I do miss him as his baby face, but there's how much you can change. A year ago, he was lusting over Mandy Rose.
But that's what they were saying, the demise of it, wasn't it? He lost everything, so he has to change.
He lose everything. It's
who
good.
He was. He lost Money in the Bank. He lost Mandy.
The thing is, though, you've got a ready-made gimmick for him to go back to, and it'll be over no matter what.
So I can see him at some
point, and the fans will love it.
I mean, I've said Cesaro, but he could be a potential IC champion for Chad at his side. It's not terrible.
He's won Money in the Bank before, so clearly they're high on him in some respect.
Out the question. I think tag championships are more of an option, personally, because I don't want Chad to get shafted, because I do like what he's doing.
Chad's good. Very good.
I just like what they do with SmackDown. They build people up. There are bits here and there that are a bit... And sometimes they, like Raw, give us the same matches over and over again. But I think now Money in the Bank's been and gone seems to... not like new feuds, but...
I just think, like you said, though, there, Rob, I can't see the Bloodline being touched...
No,
soon, in terms of Reigns and the Usos.
Well, it is.
You can see them holding it for a while.
What I want is obviously I know one of. I know
they wouldn't have put the belts on the Usos if they probably weren't going
to
do
it. I want the Usos and Naomi as heels to feud with the Profits and Bianca. Makes perfect sense to me, to be honest. Really,
that's a good shout. Naomi's not doing anything at the minute, so it'd be good for her.
I think I'm so glad she's gone to SmackDown. It just adds to SmackDown even more. And then people saying. Becky might go to SmackDown because they want to put her with Seth. I'm like, oh my Christ. Raw's just done, isn't it?
Really? Raw's done out here.
Raw needs Becky so much.
Raw is just waiting for Becky to come back.
It may still be soon. I thought
she keeps toying with us on social media as well.
I think Miss Banks is going to return possibly Friday. She's been doing it. I think a rematch. I don't mind a rematch between her and Bianca. They're starting to, because we're worried about who's going to face Bianca, and obviously Bayley's got injured, which we haven't really spoke about, which breaks my heart. It really does, because I will miss her so much. But there's starting to be a few more people you can see face Bianca now, which you want to see, because you're a bit worried it was a bit dry.
Well, Carmella's facing her again, isn't she, on Friday?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think she'll lose. And then I think,
she'll lose that.
And I think then Sasha may appear. Just classic WWE, isn't it? I don't mind.
Maybe get Naomi later down the line, Liv. She's got a lot of competitors.
She's got a lot. They just need to build them up. But I have full faith in SmackDown at the moment. It's not the issue.
And then we'll have some hot promos between Edge and Seth on Friday. Cena will turn up. It's just going to be absolutely stacked. It's going to be an absolutely stacked Friday night SmackDown. Can they make that 3 hours instead of Raw?
Yeah, SmackDown is just...
No, 3 hours would ruin SmackDown. 3 hours is the pain.
I think they fit it perfectly.
Exactly.
SmackDown. I think they do.
Perfectly timed.
I don't know. I don't honestly know who's behind the scenes of both at the moment. You probably know more than me who's in charge of SmackDown and stuff at the moment. But SmackDown is just... It's just come a long way. I thoroughly enjoy it. It does help that Roman is there, obviously. And I love Seth. I actually love Seth so much. I just love his character at the moment. I think it's brilliant. Part of me wants to see him with Money in the Bank. And that's probably like the only one. I think he's brilliant again at the moment. I just love him. Sadly, he'll probably lose the Edge, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, shifting gears from Stamford, Connecticut to Jacksonville, Florida. The other guys, AEW, who are... I mean, they're really good, aren't they? They've been really good throughout the pandemic. Yes. They've put on great shows, great pay-per-views, and that's continuing. Of course, as you mentioned, folks, we haven't been on the air since May 22nd, so we haven't talked about a certain debut that took place when fans returned to Dynamite. Tommy End, a.k.a. now Malakai Black, formerly known as Aleister Black, one of course, the shock releases that WWE had prior to our final episode in May. Amazing to see him rock up. And apparently, WWE failed to renew his release clause. Usually, they have a 60 or 90-day non-compete clause for WWE, but apparently, WWE forgot to extend Black, so he was free to appear anywhere he wanted after, I think, only 30 or 60 days. And boy, he made a huge impact on Dynamite. He took out Arn Anderson, who I believe is 102 years old. And of course, he then took out Cody Rhodes, who we'll see in a feud at some point at a pay-per-view in the near future, which I cannot wait for. But lads, it's just another feather to AEW's cap. What a great talent Malakai Black will be. Of course, you know, it's a bit of a parody of his former WWE name, but it sounds cool. He's got a cool eye, which kind of harks to when he went blind in WWE. It's all very cleverly done. And I think, yeah, it's a great signing. And I'm very excited to see what he does. What about you, Connor?
Really good signing, Andy. And a bit like you, it sort of went under the radar. I just thought, you know, he's left WWE. We're not going to see him for 90 days. And then he may appear on AEW, may appear somewhere else. And then when he appeared and actually murdered Arn Anderson, I was like, oh my goodness, he's here. And then he just actually murders Cody as well. And I was like, this is insane. And it's like, we moan about Cody and we moan about, you know, where his direction is. But you partner him with any of these great competitors in these matches and you just get so excited. Like, I'm so excited for this match in 2 weeks. And then when they both came to the ring, they both sort of looked at each other and went, yeah, go on then. And then they just started attacking each other. And you're just like, it's just going to be a really, really cool match. And hopefully they'll put Malakai over. So glad he's been able to keep his finisher as well. I'm glad it wasn't trademarked or anything because that finisher is just absolutely insane. And a real shock, a real shock. I didn't expect it. I was so happy to see it. But a lot of people moan that, you know, they're just constantly picking up ex-WWE talent. But what are these talents supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? Just lose their job and then not go anywhere? No, they're going to want to go to the best places they can. And a really, really good bit of business. Must be quite weird with his wife back on WWE now after she was released as well, let's not forget. So must have been a little bit odd. But no, really, really, really looking forward to it. And I think the match is in 2 weeks' time, I think it's 2 weeks. So yeah, can't wait.
Rob, we look at some of the names that were released in that huge cull earlier on in the year, the likes of Andrade, who of course found his way to AEW as well. We haven't talked about that great, great signing. Oh, very excited to see what he can do.
The death triangle. Oh,
Andrade, Del Idolo. This is great to see. But, you know, Braun Strowman as well, the Iconics, you know, these are names that have all been released. Tyler Breeze, Fandango. Oh, it's some really good, talented people here. Daivari, you know, Strowman's probably the biggest name out of them, arguably, but, you know, literally as well as figuratively. But out of all the people that did get released in that cull, with the exception, of course, of Black and Andrade, who we now know exactly where they are, who would you like to see possibly go to AEW? You know, it's because there's been plenty of names there that could make a big impact. Any of you that like, you'd specifically like to see? Because I think all of us would have said Andrade or Black. They've got their house. Who would rank possibly third in your list?
I miss the Iconics. I do. I miss the charisma on screen. And I think AEW's women division is getting better. Obviously, I'm still quite annoyed that we had Nyla Rose face her again. But there have been some good women's matches recently. So, and I think the Iconics, I saw obviously Mickie James arrived on Impact. Mickie.
Good.
But I can't remember of many, to be honest. But yeah, the Iconics, I think, would be the two stand out, because I think they would add something that is missing. And I know people complain, but stars like Black and Andrade, when they're that good, you expect them just, Tony, not to get them. With both of them, I would have put them on NXT. I'm obviously over the moon that they're back on AEW, but they were two men that if you put them back on NXT and become main eventers, and NXT is exactly in need of that, but Vince was like, nah, fuck them. But I'm thrilled Alistair is on AEW. His match with Cody is going to be quite superb and makes me very excited when I think of it. Hopefully he goes over. I think he will. I think Cody's sensible enough to realise, yeah, I need to put this man over. Because in my opinion, he's a future world champion. Do you remember in the run-up to Royal Rumble 2020 when he was our pick?
Yeah.
How stupid were we?
That's so sad.
But I think the interesting thing is, you talk about there's so many people on AEW that you say they're future world champions, and you're just like, where are we going to have this time? There's not enough bells. There's not enough time. Like, they've got to keep this momentum going and going and going, because Tony's, they finally get their opportunity.
He is.
If you look at Kenny and you go, oh, well, Kenny's not ready to lose a title. And you look at Miro and you go, well, he's not ready to lose a title. But then you look, well, Hangman's a future world champion. You know, Malakai Black's a future world champion. You know, potentially Darby Allin could be a potential world champion later down the line. You know, you just keep rolling off names. So it's really, really interesting. And obviously they've got their second show coming up in a couple of weeks. They're going to be releasing that as well. So I'm sure they'll probably open up a couple more title belts if they're going over to another show, which might also help with that. But God, it's an exciting time to be into AEW, because they're just going on leaps and bounds.
Mm. I can't wait actually for Rampage to begin. We do know that it will start on August the 13th.
13th
this year. And as of yet, we don't know too much about it in terms of who it will star, other than Mark Henry, who we know will be on the commentary team. I personally am dying to see Mauro Ranallo rock up and be the voice of that particular brand, because I think he is
commentator.
Now, in fairness, WWE, they have sorted their commentary teams out. I do love Jimmy Smith. I think he's doing a really, really good job, considering
he's very good. Yeah.
Of course, he needs a bit of help occasionally with certain things, but Corey's there to help him out. Byron still exists for some reason.
He needs to go. Byron needs to go.
He's big useless. You don't big notice him. Notice him. Jimmy and Corey are good.
Likes him, but
Pat McAfee is.
Breathes so much life.
People say they're just like two fans watching. You don't need that heel. They're just two fans. I think Michael said you've revitalised Michael as a commentator.
He gave him a gushing post on social media. He's appreciated having him there. He's given him extra life in his career, because Michael's been doing this since the late 1990s. Mm. So it can be very easy to become lax and a bit bored. But he says that Pat is completely, you know, giving him a new lease of life on commentary, which is exactly what you want. And I think finally, for the first time in years, with the exception maybe of Byron, they've got some good bloody commentators.
Yeah, Byron just shouldn't be there. Money in the Bank, I was watching, I said, is he speaking? I can't notice him half the time. And Gigi, I think Jimmy's doing a brilliant job. He is doing that.
It looks like Jimmy's enjoying it as well. Yeah. He's going to stick around just and not enjoy get fired just randomly.
Relax. You're getting a front row seat watching wrestling. Just enjoy it. And I think that's what Pat is doing. He's just enjoying himself when he's on it, and he's learning all the time. His knowledge is, you can tell, he's working his socks off to try and be as good as he can. So that's all we can ask from our commentary team.
Indeed. But hopefully we'll see Adnan Virk inducted into Hall of Fame very
fuck
soon.
Off.
He'll go up there with Mark Henry.
Oh, God.
On Rampage.
No.
Rampage. No. Is it just an hour, is it?
Rampage is an hour, yeah. It follows.
Yeah, I don't think it TNT. Needs, yeah, it doesn't need to be any more than that, I don't think.
No, which is great. You know, SmackDown, when it first debuted, I think was just over an hour, man. You know,
yeah,
a great addition to Raw. So I thoroughly look forward to seeing Rampage because it will be basically a sexy version of Dark, which, you know, is great. And
yeah, I don't watch Dark.
No, but it's gonna follow storylines from. It'd be like Dynamite.
Yeah.
It's basically a third hour of Dynamite, but without being a 3-hour show, which we like to see because
definitely want that.
Can't handle 3-hour shows, which is why we crap all over Raw. But gents, is there anything else we can mention? Otherwise, we might have to start wrapping the old podcast up.
I just think definitely watch AEW next week because some great matches on the card.
Is it Fight for the Fallen?
Yes.
Or was that the week after?
It is.
We had Road Rage, and then we had Fighter Fest, and they love these little special
Fight for Fallen, and then the one with Malakai Black is a little special one as well. I can't remember what it is. What they've named it, but it's another special one. I think it's because fans are back.
So yeah.
Just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just make a special one every week because fans are for absolutely ages.
But, I was going to say is that I love however Sammy Guevara is. I've never seen someone so over in my life.
It's an incredible.
It's baffling. It's not baffling. I love him, obviously, but it's become so over. I just find it quite strange.
He's been very well booked, quite simply.
Yeah, booked. He got the finish at Double or Nothing, didn't he?
Lost to MJF, but obviously MJF. Cheating. Cheating was involved.
Cheating gets.
The chairman made his mark.
And you know he's a great advert for AEW in terms of original talent, same way as Jungle Boy is. You know, a lot of people criticize you just use XWE guys. So I'm like, yeah, but look at who they are using. Look at these guys who've never ever appeared on anything other than Dynamite, and they're absolutely stealing the show. So and that's why Rampage is such a good idea, because it's going to give those guys even more exposure, even more experience, and I don't think we could really ask for much more.
And I think it's good the ones that are released, a lot of them are turning up on AEW or Impact, so they're not falling into the shadows and sort of going in the middle of nowhere. They are still picking up big brands. You know, like Rob said, great to see Mickie James appear. We thought she was pretty much done.
5 years ago.
But she's not.
5 years ago, if you were released from WWE, your career would more or less be over. There was no, I mean, Impact was really almost nothing. Buried and dead. No AEW. The NWA was nothing, but all of them are starting to pick up now. The only place you could really go was Japan. And even then, you know, it's hard to get in as an American. So it's definitely good stuff in the pipeline.
And then you've just got Kenny, who's just champion of every single brand, really.
Oh, we haven't really talked about that, to be honest.
Well, he's just very good, isn't he? Very entertaining.
He retained his Impact title on Saturday. He beat Sami Callihan.
Have they pulled the trigger too early on the Hangman? Because obviously I've made it very clear that I think Hangman will be next champion. Then part of me thinks it's come a bit too early.
Well, they could. It doesn't have to win, does
it? Well, you imagine it would be. It doesn't have to win. I know, but it will probably be all out, won't it? If it happens,
I thought it would be a pay per view, a major pay per view.
It would be a major pay per view. I don't know. I imagine Tony.
You do make a point, Rob, because obviously now he's got the Dark Order back in him as well, so he's not.
Yeah, and he's obviously extremely over. So he's as long as Sammy, he's arguably probably one of the most over people.
Yeah,
but then I think.
I always thought, and obviously there is time, but I always thought he would lose his Impact titles before he lost AEW title.
And that's why, if we spoke about this before, actually, one of our last shows. But
he keeps winning. Like he won at Slammiversary.
Yeah.
He keeps winning on Impact.
Yeah. But I look forward to seeing Kenny lose all his titles. And then you've got a whole new gimmick for him. A man who's
not winning
everything. And I look forward to seeing that side of Kenny Omega.
How I still like his... Yeah, I still like the Elite. I love Don Callis. The Young Bucks, they... pissed me off so much, but I love them at the same time.
So they're good.
They are just the best tag team.
They're the best tag team at the moment.
They are the best not just because of what they're doing in the ring, but the way they've taken to those heel roles, they just know how to wind people up. They piss me off so much. I'm just like, oh.
And their fashion is just every week they're coming out.
It's excellent. The little tash as well.
It's so
even love like little things like how they've like recruited Nakazawa and like Brandon Cutler, like two superstars who would just do nothing, but they've somehow managed to give them a role that just works.
Exactly.
It just works.
It's very clever.
Like that is brilliant.
It's brilliant. Mm. But yeah, that's why we enjoy it. And that's why it's a great alternative to WWE. So, you know, in all the doldrums and darkness of Raw, we have the SmackDowns and the Dynamites to look at as a beacon of hope and light.
There is. And the hope for the released superstars. Remember, you have a career. after WWE now.
You have value, so don't you worry. But lads, I think that just about wraps us up. It's been a great episode to come back on. It's been far too long, as I mentioned, just under 2 months away. But never fear, ladies and gents, now that Robbie and I and then Connor are getting used to our new jobs, we're going to be able to find time to produce this wonderful podcast for all of you. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Connor, for your time this evening. Do, ladies and gents, do follow our social medias. It's going to be much busier recently. Again, thanks to Connor for keeping that from catching any cobwebs in the time we've been gone. Of course, the interview that Connor did the other day is still available, and you can find a link to that on our Twitter at Monday Night Gore. That's capital M, capital N, capital G. Our Instagram is Monday Night Gore, all one word, all lowercase, and our email can be found on our Twitter handle as well. So, from myself, from Connor, and from Rob, we thank you very much for listening. Wherever you are in the world, do take care, and we will see you all next time.